Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning for your goodness, for your love, and for your care for us. We thank you now that we're able to gather together here to worship and praise you. We're able to gather here to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters and with our Heavenly Father. We just pray now that you would meet with us, have your way in our hearts, and we'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing, "Open My Eyes That I May See." Entitled, "Open Our Eyes, Lord." Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the lonely child, the searching youth, the forgotten adult, the timid stranger.
Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the image of God in everyone, so often forgotten and sometimes hidden.
Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the beauty of your creation around us and the potential for healing within us.
Open our ears, Lord,
to hear the cry of those who are hungry, homeless, hurting, helpless, and hopeless.
Open our ears, Lord,
to hear the voices, the songs, and the sounds of nature all around us.
Open our hearts, Lord,
to embrace with unconditional love all of God's rainbow-colored family, and to respect all of God's creatures and all of God's creation.
Open our hearts, Lord.
May our hearts be a channel through which your love and grace can flow to the last, the least, and the lost.
Open our lips, Lord,
to speak kindness and comfort, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, and to praise our Creator. May the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our minds, and the intentions of our hearts be such that they always give glory and praise to you.
And all God's children said, Amen and Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns you'd like to share?
Kit's family.
Yes, the family of Martha Story Kitts. Her husband passed away yesterday afternoon. They have asked me to do the funeral Tuesday afternoon, but do keep them in your prayers. Open heart surgery and chemotherapy. Keep them in your prayers. Karen? Jenna's going through some medical issues. Keep her in your prayers. How many of you all will be, Jenna, I want you to look around. How many of y'all will be praying for Jenna? I think it passed, okay? I saw a cartoon one time, showed a pastor, he was in the hospital, and one of his members was there and said, "Preacher, I've got some good news for you. The church council met yesterday and they voted 5-4 to pray for your recovery." Take what you can get. Any others? Keep Jessica's sister Tabitha in your prayers. Pat?
Church.
Our church. His church. Yes. He has promised that even the gates of hell won't be able to prevail against it. We just got to remember who we are and whose we are and whose church it is. Yeah. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, as we begin another Sunday in this new year, we pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to each one gathered here. Remind us, Lord, that we are your children. You promised you would never leave us or forsake us. You promised that your grace was sufficient for us and your strength was made perfect in our weakness. Remind us also this morning, Lord, that this is your church. We give you thanks and praise for all of those down through the years who have been here, who have given of their time and their efforts and their energy and their abundance. We thank you, Lord, for those who are here now. We pray that you would be with each one today. We pray that you would remind us that you have a special purpose and task for each one of us. It doesn't matter how old we are. Doesn't matter how young we are. Doesn't matter if we've been in this church for 120 years or if we just came last week. You've got a job for us to do. Keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. Remind us that we are called to share your love and your grace. Remind us that every heart with Jesus Christ is a missionary. Every heart without Jesus Christ is a mission field. What a task we have before us. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with our government. They need your help, big time. Guide and direct each one of them. Remind them that we are one nation under God. Not under Congress, not under the House, not under the executive branch. We're one nation under God. Help them that they might focus on you, on your will, your plan, your purpose, your design for this great nation. There's so much we could do for our people and for the world if we would quit our squabbling and if we would get our focus where it should be. Be with our troops today. Watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families. Thank you, Lord. You've heard each other's prayer requests on our hearts. You know the many unspoken requests that we have. We just pray now that your healing hand would be upon those that need your healing touch, that your comfort and strength and peace would be with those who need that. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? In case you get too wrapped up in this weather that we're having now, you may want to watch the screen. You're going to see it again. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your many wonderful blessings that you've given to us. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts, for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing if you would, please. I'd like for us to sing a little chorus that's not in your hymnal. You may or may not be familiar with it. I'd like for Wayne to play it through one verse and give us an idea how it goes, and then we'll sing it together. Thank you. go.
Open our eyes, Lord.
Reading from the book of Joel, chapter 2. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Today, we're going to be talking about the idea of dreams. And let me remind you that there are two different ways we could look at this. One is when we are laying in bed, comatose, and the things that go through our minds, some of them are kind of interesting, some of them aren't. There's that kind of dreams. And then, as everything has been alluding to this morning, they're the kind of dreams that we have when our eyes are wide open and our hearts are wide open and God fills us and uses us in a special way. This song talks about that latter type.
I dreamed of a city called Glory. So bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried, holy, the angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Sights I did see, but then I said, I want to see Jesus, 'cause he's the one who died for me. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy, you are so holy. I clapped my hands and sang, Son of God. Yes, I sang glory to the Son of God. I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They led me down the streets of heaven. All the sights too many to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Spoke with Mark, Luke, and Timothy. And then I said, Timothy, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who
mother went to the bedroom door and told young Jimmy that it was time for bed. Lights out. A few minutes later, she went back to check on him and found he wasn't in bed asleep. He was at the window, looking up at a big, beautiful, full moon. She reminded him again that it was time for bed, and he reluctantly climbed in, let her tuck him in. And then he said, Mommy, someday I'm going to walk on the moon. That young boy with a dream later survived an almost fatal motorcycle crash that broke many of the bones in his body. But some 32 years after that night in his bedroom, James Irwin did indeed walk on the moon. One of only 12 people in the entire world who's done that. Let's talk about dreams a little bit. Let's start off with the first kind that we mentioned, the kind that you're all familiar with. How many here never dream in your sleep? I read a while back about a study that was done. They had, I believe it was 24 people in the study. They had them sleeping in separate areas and had them all wired up. And they could sleep as long as they wanted to. However, half of them, whenever the electrodes indicated that they were in their REM sleep and they were dreaming, they would wake them up. Go back to sleep as long as you want, just don't dream. The study was to be 2 weeks in length. Before the end of the first week, all 12 of those who were not allowed to dream dropped out. They couldn't take it. A psychologist observed that if we could be arrested for what we dream, a lot of us would be in jail. How did he know? Okay, we're all in that same boat there. No activity runs a more bizarre and fantastic gamut than our dreams. Let me share with you some recent findings by science about dreams, and you let me know if you think they're true or false. One, many people lead a more interesting life asleep than awake. True? It is. It's not at all uncommon for people to have more exciting, romantic, adventurous experiences in dreams than in waking hours, which may be why many people who lead dull lives spend so much time sleeping. A person can feel blue and down in the dumps, and during the same period have the most pleasant dreams. Number two, if we dream in color, this indicates that we are living more fully, getting more out of life. True. Dreams in color indicate that the person has a heightened sensitivity to the things around him or her, or a more satisfying emotional life. With women, dreaming in color is associated with intuitive ability. Number three, true or false? People who have difficulty adjusting to problems of everyday life find a pleasant escape from reality in their dreams. False. In most cases, people who avoid facing reality in their waking life are brought face to face with it in their dreams. For example, alcoholics who drink to escape from their problems are often confronted with them after they go to sleep. Now, from your DIY network, here are some ways to make your dream life more interesting. If you don't sleep alone, here's some ways to make that other person wonder why you're smiling in your sleep. And this is true, okay? If you drink no fluids for an hour or two before going to bed, your dreams will be more numerous and varied. I can understand that. If I drink too much before I go to bed, I don't have time to dream. Another way to step up dream activity is to stop smoking. Not only will you dream better, but you will dream longer. Okay? That wasn't in there, I just added that. Okay, We read from Joel chapter 2, where the last part of that says, your old men will dream dreams. Not a reflection so much on age as the fact that there will be dreams. Over in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, in the King James Version, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. How are we going to find God's plan, God's purpose, God's will for our lives? As individuals, as families, as a church? In order to find it, we have to allow God to give us a dream. The dream becomes a driving force of our lives. Before we can accomplish God's will, we have to know God's will. One, our God-given dreams determine our destiny. God's dream for our lives will shape us into the kind of people that God wants us to be. I've come to the conclusion that there aren't really many great people, but there are a lot of ordinary people that are committed to great dreams. When we commit ourselves to a great dream, it draws something out of us and helps us become larger than we would any other way. God uses dreams in our lives to direct us, to shape us, and define us. And again, not talking about the dreams we have in our sleep, but those dreams that propel us while we're awake. Our dreams determine not only our destiny, but our dignity. If we don't have a dream in our lives, we're just existing. We will probably frequently wonder, why am I here? Why do I get up in the morning? Why do I go to work? What's the use? No dream means no self-esteem. When we realize God's dream for our lives and begin to fulfill that plan, then we feel better about ourselves. How can we determine what God's dream is for our lives? Let me give you an acrostic to remember it with. The letter D, dedicate our lives to God. To dedicate means devoted and determined to worship God or set apart for God's service. It means committed to a goal or way of life, God's way of life. This is what Paul was referring to there in Romans chapter 12 when he said, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think what he's done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect God's will really is. When we dedicate our lives to God, we discover God's dream for us. What is God's will like for us? It's good, pleasing, and perfect. Perfect in Greek means that it fits us. It's what we ought to be, what we could be, what we should be. To discover this dream, Paul said we need to dedicate ourselves, our time, our talents, our treasures, our relationships, past, present, and future. Without this, we can never discover what God's dream for our lives is. He says, don't conform to the standards of this world. Many of us miss God's dream for our lives because we're not looking at God. We're looking at everybody else. We're watching what everybody else is doing. We want to keep up with the Joneses. Look at these people in Hollywood. I mean, if one of them jumps, they all jump. If one of them says the sky is green, they all say the sky is green. But they're not worth spending sermon time on, so let's go on. We want to keep up with the Joneses and be like everybody else, but God is calling you and me to be an original, not a carbon copy. Now, most of you are old enough to know what a carbon copy is. Okay, it's old school, I realize, but you know what we're talking about here. Hebrews 12, first verse, says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us." God has a plan for you and for me, and no one else can run that race for us. If we're always looking at others, we're going to try to run their race. I had a good friend in high school. His parents died when he was young, and he was kind of overseer to raise his four or five other siblings. And Henry kind of adopted my parents as his parents too. Henry went on to college, to medical school, became a kidney specialist, founded a kidney clinic in Brazil, had a dialysis clinic later in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, had a beautiful home right there on the bay, right off Highway 98. And very often I would think, oh my goodness, look at Henry. He later went on, became president of a college in Belize. Look at him. Here he is in his 50s and he's already retired and he's done so much. And oh my goodness, why couldn't I be more like Henry? And finally, God slapped me in the back of the head and said, I didn't call you to be Henry. I called you to be David. We've all done that, haven't we? We look at all these other people and we get tripped up in our own race. Hebrews calls us to set aside all of this excess baggage. Maybe relationships or friendships that are pulling us down because their goals are the opposite of what God has for our lives. We can't always please others and God at the same time. Okay, that's the letter D. The letter R, reserve time to be alone with God. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to the Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. We need to spend time with God in order to be able to hear him to speak. Job 37:14. Pay attention to this, Job. Stop and consider the wonderful miracles of God. The letter E, evaluate yourselves and your abilities. The Amplified New Testament says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you're holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits for it. We must evaluate ourselves to discover the talents and abilities that God has given us. Do you realize that when God created you, he created a masterpiece? The word in Greek for masterpiece is poema. It's where we get the word poem from. We are God's poem. We are God's work of art. We are unique. We're saved to serve and to minister. The letter A, D-R-E-A, associate with godly people who have godly dreams. Not too long ago, I saw a bumper sticker on a car that said, "It's hard to soar with the eagles when you have to work with the turkeys." Anybody here ever worked with turkeys? You know what it's talking about. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend." Hang out with other people who are trying to discover God's dream and plan and purpose for their lives. The letter M, make your dream public. Why should we announce it? Because it demonstrates faith. Also, others will come to help. Some of us have a dream and no one came to help. But very often it's because we never shared it with anybody. By telling others, we're making a statement of faith, and others will become part of it. Three effects of publicly stating our dreams. Not the ones you had at night. You better not go around sharing too many of those, but the dreams that God has given us. First effect is it gets us started. There's no more procrastination. Someone said, procrastination is my greatest sin. It brings me deepest sorrow. I really must stop doing it. Perhaps I'll start tomorrow. Number two, it attracts other people's support. The moment we state our dreams, there are people who want to become a part of it. God has a plan and a purpose. The third thing is we need to realize that it releases God's power. Because of our faith, we step out of the boat and start walking on the water, and God holds us up. Paul, let's not even go there. Our dream starts with the fact that we have a relationship with God. After the completion of Disney World, how many of y'all been to Disney World? Quite a few. Catherine worked there 4 years. I've been in the parks between 60 and 80 times and still not tired of it. Still haven't seen it all. Catherine worked with a lady that had worked there 10 years. And cast members, people that work there, can go in anytime they want. She had worked there 10 years, had never been in the park, and had no desire to go in. I couldn't figure it. But anyway, after Disney World was built, someone commented, it's too bad that Disney didn't live to see this. Mike Vance, who was the creative director of Disney Studios, replied, he did see it. That's why it's here. He had a dream. Everything that is a creation of human ingenuity started out as a dream. Zippers, Christmas tree lights, quadruple bypass heart surgery, internal combustion engines, cotton candy, x-rays, air conditioning, flush toilets, matches, eyeglasses, espresso. All these things began as a dream in someone's mind. You realize that we are just 24 days away from the beginning of Lent. This year, appropriately enough, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, is also Valentine's Day. What a day to celebrate God's love and grace for us. What a day to remember that the nightmare of sin in our lives and in our world can be removed through accepting the dream of God's love and grace as it was shown on an old rugged cross. In a world of Good Friday nightmares, it's time for Easter dreams. And what a time of year to talk about it as we prepare our hearts for Lent. Do you realize the resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter means that we can dream of plenty in the midst of poverty? We can dream of compassion in the midst of apathy? We can dream of justice in the midst of inequality? We can dream of holiness in the midst of hellishness? We can dream of love in the midst of hate. And as we sang about just a few moments ago, we can dream of an eternity in heaven. Even in a world that is so full of all the reminders of sin and death and hell. How about you this morning? Will you allow God to give you a dream? God, show me what your dream is for me, for my life, for my family, for our church, for the United States of America, for this world. You can be one of God's dream agents. Do you dare to dream? Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would help us, that we might allow you to give us a dream, that we might allow you to fulfill that dream not only in us, but through us. Use us now to your honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Our closing hymn this morning. God is looking for some people in whom to implant his dream, people who will work to build his kingdom. And our closing hymn should be our response to that. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Shall we stand as we sing together? It's here. It's number 593 in your hymnal. Now, as we prepare to leave this place, may you leave with your eyes and your hearts wide open to God's dream and plan and purpose for your life, that you might be a part of building the kingdom of God in Rockwood and Roane County and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.